it going. Alright, try not to knock it off. Do you have a friend? As a guy, do you have a friend? The leading psychologists estimate only 10% of all men ever have a real friend, a real close relationship. And even the most intimate of male relationships rarely approach the depths of disclosure a woman commonly has with many women. Why is that? What are some reasons? Why do you think?
You want the spiritual answer or the Darwinian answer?
Tell me whatever you think.
I would think it's partially a survival thing.
Yeah. Survival instinct?
Yeah.
Biological. I think it's also good for the brain.
There's a certain amount of protection in keeping it to yourself.
What do you mean by that, dude?
Well, it's safer. There's risk involved in disclosure.
Okay.
And it's weakness. Exposes weakness.
More cultural.
Would that be true, you think, Mark, of all the countries in the world?
I think it's probably our culture, Western culture. Fact.
Why do you think that? Because I think it actually is our culture.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact.
I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Any other reasons?
I think communicating. I know my wife talks 5 times more than I do. So...
So does that get back to biological or what?
I'm not sure. Maybe that could be a heading. Biological.
Okay.
I think sometimes it has to do with a matter of that we're supposed to be the strongest one.
Okay.
So therefore, I mean, I never saw my dad cry until he was older. And so I didn't have that example.
Okay.
So you don't express your emotions.
Good.
You guys are doing good.
It's easy to come up with the reason.
Yeah, it's always easy to come up with
the reason.
The question is, are there reasons or excuses? There's a few that I think are pertinent and found in some of the stuff I was studying and reading, but men's relationships focus on around activities, not sharing. So if we have a friend, it's our golfing buddy, it's our fishing buddy, it's our bowling buddy. It's our jogging buddy. How much discussion goes on, Brett, while you're jogging down Broadway every morning?
First 2 miles, not much.
Yeah, not too much. So we tend to focus on activities together rather than on sharing. Men are competitive by nature, and this gets back to this exposes weaknesses thing here. And so we're fearful of losing any advantage due to revealing a weakness in our life. As little guys, we're very competitive. We play sports. You know, we don't want anybody to know we can't throw the ball from left field to home plate or whatever, you know. So we don't want to let our guard down. The world conditions us from early childhood to be tough. Take care of yourself. Don't cry. Be a man. You ever experience any of those as a kid growing up? Don't cry. Don't be a sissy. You know, that's what we tell our little guys all the time. We fear being suspected of deviant behavior. I remember, some of you may remember Scott Richardson. He was an intern here. And we had a relationship in Colorado before coming to church here in the county. And we were having breakfast at Denny's one morning. And we had a great time together. And we walked out after paying the bill. We walked out in front of Denny's. And he hugged me and he said, "I love you." And the guy was walking out the door right at that time. And he gave us the hairy eyeball. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. And we laughed about it. Because we knew how he was interpreting what he heard Scott say. So, but, you know, we have a fear of that. We don't want people to think we're not manly men, right? And you're exactly right. I think Ron or somebody said that. We didn't have role models. In general, we didn't have role models. You know, we had strong men, protectors, or able to take care of the family. Role models, maybe, but we didn't see our dads be affectionate towards other men. So we didn't learn it, basically. Anybody think of any others as we went through there?
And Mark, I don't want people to think that my dad was an elder of the church. He was a very strong Christian, very good Christian man. And, I mean, he had it taught to him that way.
Yeah, sure. That's right. Yeah, if you look at the Bible, there's some strong relationships in the Bible between men. And just a couple here, where David and Jonathan, they had a very committed relationship, very loyal to one another, very encouraging to one another. When Jonathan died, you remember what David said? A very, very strong statement of his affection for Jonathan. He said, "My love for him was greater than that for women." And knowing David's messed up women relationship, you can kind of see where that was probably an issue for him, but it spoke volumes as to how much he thought about Jonathan. Jesus obviously spent a lot of time, 3 years, developing close relationships with 12 guys, three in particular, and because of that time they spent together, an intimate relationship, they were able to change the world after he left. Sure. Okay.
I think you need to be a good listener to develop a friendship. I think sometimes we talk a lot more than what we realize. It's just that we're not always heard, so we don't develop those relationships.
I think you're right.
I was just thinking that the issue of what culture says to us about male relationships is probably, I would think, is a huge factor in men building relationships these days, because I think what the world tells us is that, you know, if you are intimate, if you have a close relationship with a man, then, you know, that you must be gay.
Right.
I mean, I don't think, it's kind of weird for, as open-minded as the world is now about everything, the signals are the message that we get is that, you know, there's something wrong with you, or not wrong with you, but that you're gay.
Yeah, we fear being misconstrued that way. You're right. Stephen Covey's a remarkable man. I don't know if you've heard any of his seminars. He's like the big business guru guy. About 3 or 4 years ago, he was really popular. Stephen Covey is a Mormon. And all he's done is taken the Bible and applied its principles to business without telling anybody that's what he did. Okay, so he's all about relationships and emotional bank accounts, if you've read anything or heard any of his stuff. He even uses parables. He just puts modern-day faces on them, and the people in the class are going, wow. And if you're a Christian and you know, you can see exactly what he's doing. But he's become a millionaire doing that. Very good training, though. Very good class. He says that true happiness in life comes from the quality of your relationships. Think about that for a minute. True happiness in life comes from the quality of your relationships. It's not your job. It's not your income. It's not your possessions, not even little red convertibles. Not your recreational activities. And the list can go on and on and on. All the things we look for happiness in, it's not going to give us that. The happiness comes from your relationship with God first, your relationship to your family second, and relationship to others in your circle of life. And so building strong relationships with guys is healthy for us and brings a lot of joy in our life. So it's worth the effort. Any comments about that? That's my friendship talk. I don't want to give you the bad word. There's another reason why we need guys in our life, is accountability. What do you think of when you hear the word accountability? Why is it a bad word?
Why
is it parental? Okay, parental.
The Boston movement.
Okay, so the Boston movement is what Steve said. So. Legalism, very legalistic.
Yeah, I think of judging, which is very simple.
Okay, yeah. Judging each other. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing. We got to start thinking of it as a good thing. as brothers in the Lord, we share some things. You know, we assent to the same authority. We know the same God. We're striving to go the same ways. We long for the same things. We dream mutual dreams, or we should. But the bottom one's the really important one here, which comes to accountability, and that's we face the same enemy. Now, we have an enemy out there that wants to be about tearing us down. He wants to destroy our relationships with our family. He wants to destroy our relationship with our God. He wants us to feel guilty about ourselves all the time, so we will not be effective in our walk. He doesn't want us to grow in our walk and our effectiveness where we might influence others for God. So he's after us. And so we need each other to help get through those struggles and those weaknesses we have in our life, and we all have them, so that we can grow and become more like Christ and overcome his efforts on our behalf, the Satan's efforts on our behalf. So,
Mark,
yeah.
It has nothing to do with the class, I'm sorry, but I was wondering about you. I thought there was is there a special collection for the Benevolence
today? Yeah, the Benevolence collection today is dedicated to the food pantry.
Okay.
That given out of the food pantry idea, and everything that's collected today will be for the food pantry.
There's a little self-test for you. How much in isolation are you living? Who's challenging you spiritually, relationally, financially? You can add more to this list. Professionally, physically. Who do you have in your life that's challenging you in any of those areas? That's really trying to hold you accountable to those things. When things go bad in your life, who do you talk to? But most of you are going to say your wife, and that's great if you got a strong relationship with your wife and you get good feedback. You should have that. But are there things that you don't even want to talk to your wife about that maybe only a guy could understand? Who can you be totally honest with? When you fail, who's going to stand with you? We're all going to fall from time to time. Who's going to be there with you? And then finally, who holds you accountable? To be the God, the guy, the dad, the father, the brother in the Lord, the whatever that are goals for you. Who's holding you accountable to those things? That's why we need each other in our lives. You know, we need to have those kind of relationships in our lives that we can build on. Without close brotherly relationships, which enable accountability, we more than likely never reach our spiritual potential as Christian men. I think that's you agree, disagree, or see that as a possibility? It's a pretty strong statement.
Well, without help alongside me, I've got to figure it out myself. And I've got the word, but, I mean, that's pretty limiting when you think about it. Just what have we learned from sermons and the teaching and this kind of stuff, you know, that helps us get to the next level of maturity or whatever you want to call it. You know, if I've got to figure it out myself, it's pretty limiting.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing about ourselves is we know our weaknesses. And we know how many times we've tried to accomplish something and failed. So it can get pretty discouraging on our own. We're out there.
Yes. Some of us are more naturally relational than others. I'm more naturally relational. Mm-hmm. And talking with someone who's not, how do you convince them? And they might say, no, I don't need that. And they don't see the need for it. And they, you know, for whatever reasons, a part of it is they don't develop relationships real easily. And it's so much hard work sometimes that it's not worth it. How do you talk, say, to someone?
That's what I'm trying to do here, is to get us to be self-reflective a little bit and think about, you know, how isolated am I up there? Because if I can realize that I'm in danger and I'm really not growing in some areas that I want to grow in, I might seek out some help. But I think the best way is when you see someone struggling, and those that are relational reach out to them and come, or just like it happened to me, come around them and say, can I help you with this? And they take the responsibility for developing a relationship. Because some guys I don't think will ever see a need to initiate this process.
I have a bit of a problem with, I don't know if this is what you're trying to say or not, but the notion that a primary purpose of male friendship is accountability. I really, you know, our history within Christianity and actually other religions too is replete with examples of how this business of people being accountable to each other has caused serious problems. And for those of us that lived and saw him and saw the Boston Church movement destroy people's lives with this, with an abuse of this notion, you know, the power of it. We really are set up to be accountable to God and should be encouraging each other in our accountability to God, which is a significant difference from saying we're accountable to another person.
Right.
I understand that this has sort of been a popular way of explaining this, but I'm concerned about the emphasis on being accountable to each other as opposed to just encouraging each other in our walk.
Yeah. I think the Boston example you gave, I'm not talking about that legalistic discipleship that they call it, where you're accountable, you're under total submission to someone that's supposedly more spiritually mature and whatever. I'm not talking about that kind of thing at all. I'm talking about how do I overcome in my life those weak areas that I'm struggling with. Is there any tool out there for me to use? Because I can't do it on my own. Can I get any help from a brother in the Lord in making some improvements in my life?
And I think the big difference is you choose to have an accountability relationship,
right,
rather than you're forced to.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't really know that in the Boston movement it was even forced. It was more coercion based upon the social norm in that group, which is actually very powerful. But I mention it not to take away, I mean, you know, your point of how men tend naturally, for whatever reason, to not have relationships, friendly relationships with other men that can improve their support system and help us in our walk.
That's all we're talking
about. That's a separate issue, sort of, from this debate, you know, this issue of how it can be abused. Which has been
certainly is.
I think with that, my experience with Boston players is, with accountability, is that I was, I tend to give a lot of direction on what I need to be accountable about, instead of my coming and saying, no, I'm really struggling, as I read the scripture, to live this way as I understand God that wants me to live it. And I think there's a big difference there. And to have somebody to help me, where I read the Bible and I say, you know, I really think God wants me to learn these areas and do these things. Now, how can you help me do this? Where I think some of the other churches I've been to, they say, Brad, I think you need to do this.
Right.
Whether you...
You're really talking about a control system with that Boston movement.
Talking about free will, too, I think that's the big difference, is that when you're talking about accountability, I mean, probably my favorite passage in this area is when, is in 1 John, where it says, if you walk in the light as he's in the light, you have fellowship with one another. Then he goes right on and says, it says, anyone who says they haven't sinned is a liar.
That's right.
And I think that's the whole point of the accountability, is that there's nothing that the devil would like us to do more than to hold everything inside of us, because then he has a lot more power. But if we walk with everything that we do in our lives, where it's in the light, and that means it can be seen.
Yeah.
That's when we have fellowship, and that's what you're talking about, this accountability. And if we hold it inside, then we're doing exactly what God doesn't want us to do and exactly what the devil wants us to do.
Okay.
And so that's when the accountability has some real value.
Okay, good point.
Accountability has been a big issue for, maybe the last 15 at least years or 20. I don't think there's been any change, though. I think it's been talked about a lot. Guys have been talked about a lot. Maybe a little, but I think in the day, you see that it really hasn't changed a whole lot. What happens in those situations is, like, Steve, if you're relational and I'm not, you may get, you're just naturally going to maybe get together with some guys, the other 90% that aren't into that aren't going to. What's amazed me, we've been in St. Louis for 7 years, I can get together with guys, which I do all the time for lunch in California. I have maybe had one time out of how many, 200, where somebody could have possibly even known that I don't even live in California. My family doesn't live there. Nothing. There is nothing about personal, family, what you're doing, and these are Christian, some Christian guys, secular guys, across the board. Those are the issues we need to address.
Right.
That's
a good point. Yeah. It's not just spending time.
That's where we're at. That's life.
Yeah.
The platitudes aren't getting us there.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. It's the quality of the time we spend together and what do we do when we're together. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I like this passage, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. So if you ever develop a good friend, you've got a very valuable ally and blessing in your life. Yeah, Lee?
Maybe the emphasis should be put on friendships rather than accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability is kind of a strong word, and when you're pushing towards that, you might...
Yeah, that's why I started with friendship today, because that's got to come first. Unless you're an elder, accountability coming first doesn't really work too well. So you got to have that relationship ahead of time. So how do I decide who I'm going to develop a relationship with? Let's talk a little bit about the how-to now. You can look for someone who can help you. So maybe someone that's mastered a particular struggle that you're going through. If I'm having struggles as a dad, maybe I'm going to seek out Don, to spend some time with and try to pick his brain, develop a relationship so I can learn to be a better dad. Maybe it's someone I can help. Maybe you see someone struggling with something you've been through. So maybe you were a drug addict at one time, and you see a young person or another guy that's struggling with that. Maybe you could offer some of your experiences to him. Someone in the same situation I'm in currently, so maybe I've lost my job. Is there somebody else that's struggling with finding a job right now? Maybe that's a good bond for us to start to build a relationship off of. Maybe it's just someone I want to be around. Maybe I think guys that throw stones around for a living, they got to be interesting. There got to be something different about them. Maybe I need to spend a little time with Lee just to see what he's all about. Someone who has a similar schedule is important because you got to have a time to get together when you both work for you. So if you work nights, maybe you seek out a guy that works a night shift as well. Maybe that's the only thing you got in common. Maybe it's just somebody you want to know better. But the last one is critical no matter what. It has to be somebody you think you can trust. Because if you're going to disclose these secret sins in your life to somebody, it's got to be somebody you can trust. It's going to stay right there.
Hey, Mark, I would also encourage you not to necessarily seek out someone who has mastered a struggle, but maybe who also has made some progress on the struggle.
Okay. Good point. Sometimes it takes years to master things, right? Sometimes we never do. So, first steps. For all you guys out there that think you don't need any Christian men in your life, realize you need some Christian men in your life. That's a first step. Realize it's an advantage to you. And then initiate the invitation. Don't wait for somebody to come to you. Now, if you're an introverted kind of guy, you're probably not going to feel real comfortable doing that. But try. If you think there's somebody you'd like to get together and try to get to know, hit them up with it and say, hey, I'd kind of like to spend a little time with you. Do you think it would work? And if they say no, don't get discouraged, because sometimes there's just other schedules, other things going on. A person may not feel interested in doing it right now. It's important that you set a routine time to get together. So it becomes like every week. Weekly works best, I think. And then commit to it.
You know, Mark, that point there, I think is, in looking over this list here, you know, as I look at myself, I mean, it's a major investment. You know, I think that, you know, it's an easy thing that's not urgent. It's important, but it's not urgent, and therefore, a lot of times it doesn't happen. We may even say that we want to do that, and it's important, but since it's not urgent, it oftentimes just doesn't happen because it is an investment in time.
Absolutely.
And our time, you know, is important to us, and so sometimes, I mean, a lot of times, we get caught up in the urgent versus the important, using a Covey term. And because it takes an investment, a lot of times it's easy to fall by the wayside.
Yeah, you have to be willing to commit to it. Just like if you want to get stronger, you got to commit to exercise. Or if you want to lose weight, you got to commit to diet. Whatever you set your mind about improving, you got to make a commitment to it. If you're lucky enough to get a group of guys to meet, which there's several of those meeting in this body, make sure it's not more than four guys. There's a group dynamic that goes on. If you get more than four guys, the exchange of information and sharing will not be quality in an hour's time or hour and a half's time. It's just, it's too many to really get deep into each other's life.
The problem less than three is not good either because of work schedules. Sometimes you end up wondering whether someone's going to be
there or not. Yeah, it gets back to that commitment. You got to let each other know. And the thing is, this is a process. You're not going to say, okay, we're forming a group Monday and then have it go really well. It takes time to get to know each other, to develop the relationship. So don't get in a hurry about the deal. It's just like we talked about with giving. If you're giving 1% and you feel like you need to give a tithe and you try to do it in one fell swoop, you're probably not going to be successful at it. But if you say, hey, this year I'm going to try to give 3%, and next year I'm going to try to give 5%, and you build some goals that are realistic, you can probably get there. And you got to take your time with this process just as well. Some of you have seen this before, but I want to go over it again because I think it's the dynamic of how this happens. And I got copies of this for you guys. But it's a timeline. You can't see this right here. This says process timeline, forming, storming, norming, and performing. It's just kind of the way your group will interact as you get going. You start out as acquaintances, okay? There's people in here you might think of your friends or you feel your friends, but there's a lot of us that are just acquaintances. Eddie and I are just acquaintances, okay? We come to church every Sunday, and we see each other every Sunday, and we exchange pleasantries every Sunday. And I know a little bit about his family, and I've been to his house one time, okay? But I really don't know Eddie. I don't know him. I don't know what he's about. I don't know what he's taking. I don't know what he's struggling with. I don't know what his gifts are. I don't know those things. So right now, we're acquaintances. When you first get together listening, whoever said listening, you know, particularly if you're a big talker, you're going to have to get in the habit of listening because you got to go both ways for a relationship to develop. Once you start listening and decide whether you can develop an acceptance of this individual and you agree that whatever's shared among you is going to be confidential, is the first step in climbing this ladder. As you get together more, you make sure you're making yourself available. Discussion becomes more give and take. You may have some arguments. You may have some differences of opinion about things. But because you're accepted, you know it's safe, and you can do that. That will eventually lead to some self-disclosure. Hey, this is what's really going on in my life. I need you to pray about it a little bit. At this point, you're approaching the friend level now in a relationship. The next progression of that is you learn to encourage each other, and you actually develop an affection for one another. And that's when it's safe to hold each other accountable to some specific things that you've learned about each other. Because once you know the guy loves you, you can take the criticism out. Once you know he cares about you. And if that gets continues to grow, and you get to a point where you're exhorting each other, you're honoring each other, you're growing in your walk, in your ministry, in your mission, and you truly are becoming brothers in the Lord. Because when you serve with somebody, it really helps draw you in. Any questions about that? It's just a model, but I think it's pretty true to what really goes on at Youth Bethany trying to develop a group of guys together. Okay, once you get up here, then you're ready for the tough stuff. And let me pass these up. This is a tool that you can use to start to learn how to hold each other accountable. And it's just some questions, but I think they touch some major weaknesses in men's lives that we need to be asking each other about. The first one is, how much regular quiet time have you spent with God this week? That would be a question you'd ask each other, okay, when you get together. The idea is not to go through this list, to go through every question when you get together and check them off like men would do, task accomplishment. You may only talk about one question on this sheet, and that's fine, okay, if you really get some good sharing and exchange of what's really going on in your life. Have you made time for your family this week? And that can go a lot of different directions. Have you taken your wife on a date? Have you played with the kids? Have you helped them with their homework? You know, a lot of things could be said there. Have you been above reproach in your financial dealings this week? Would your financial support of the church be best described as first fruits or leftovers this week? Goes along with what Dave talked to us about. Have you allowed any uncontrolled anger to damage a relationship this week? Anger seems to be a thing men struggle with more than women do, stereotypically. Have you exposed yourself to any explicit material this week? Movies, magazines, TV, internet. And I think that's one we really need to be asking ourselves. So we live in a very sensual world. And it's very hard to stay, keep these things out of your life. Have you been with a woman inappropriately this week? Maybe nothing happened, but did you put yourself in a situation that you shouldn't? Or you were talking to a coworker at work, or exposed to a dirty joke or something with a woman that you shouldn't have. Well, you shouldn't do that anyway, but you know what I'm saying. Here's kind of a general one. What has been your biggest spiritual struggle this week, and how is it going? And then, have you shared your faith this week? And the last one, and the most critical, have you lied? Have you lied about anything we just talked about? And I've actually had that happen in groups where guys answered one way, but as we got down to this question, they said, you know, I really wasn't forthcoming on that other question we talked about. I want to make that right. Again, you can add anything on here. Once you get to know somebody, you know specifically what they're dealing with. Maybe that's your question that you just add on here and you ask about all the time. Probably the best accountability relationship I've had since I've been trying to do this is with John Mulvey. He used to be a member of this church. Some of you know him. John knew I traveled a lot. And every time we got together, he asked me specifically, what did I expose myself to while I was away on the trip? And it was a big help. It was a huge help, because I didn't want to tell him, you know, that I did something I wasn't supposed to do. And so it was a big incentive to turn off the TV in the hotel room or whatever it was. You know. You guys see the value in this? So what's the biggest stumbling block to getting together with guys?
Kind of related to what you're talking about, problem being burned, is my biggest stumbling block would be past experiences.
A lack of trust.
Exactly.
Lack of trust.
Having been burned many times.
Yeah.
It comes to that, you get older. I mean, I'm older now. And some of us, I think, if you've had bad experiences, that's going to be
Remember, Jim, this is stuff you're asking for help on. It's not something that I'm going to hold you accountable to, because I think you need to be held accountable to. You have to be invited into that process.
Well, what I mean if you've done that openly in the past, you've got to have that right attitude.
Oh, I see.
You've been burned.
Okay. Well, trust is huge. Trust is huge. Won't work without it. Anybody else have a testimony about a value or a strength that you received in sharing some stuff with somebody?
I guess it was back 15 years ago. And Carl Wendt and I, we would go meet John Mulvey and Steve Smith.
Uh-huh.
It all started with another guy. What was that other guy's name? Second Church. No.
Doesn't matter.
No. Anyway, he and I were getting together, and he was very deep, just going through a divorce, and I realized I couldn't meet his needs, so got a group of guys, it was five of us, got together, and he dropped out, it was just four of us, and that was viable to get for us four to be together. We did it for 5-6 years or more, I don't know. But on the way over there, Carl Wendt and I spent time together. He really taught me transparency. And we would just, you know, had the key words. And we got over there, we'd talk about some stuff like this. But, you know, it was, how you doing? And that meant, how are you doing with lust? Mm-hmm. That was something that we've been open with each other about. So that was just the key question, exactly what that was. So going over there and coming back, we would just spend that much time together. Much deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there, we did more. We had our, one of the big things was the goals that we had set. Once a month, we would go over those goals, how we were doing with that. And then we just kind of had some guide type of things to help us stay in the Word. And I think John and Steve had a more serious, but they had to do a bunch of crunches and push-ups. Where Carl and I, we weren't into that stuff. But they were meeting their goal of spending time in the Word. It was a very good, helpful thing.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a time when Clarence Shepherd and I, he was my closest relationship in the body here, and I just wanted to share that because I would have never picked him or thought, I mean, he and I are probably the most different of anybody I could choose in this body, and yet it evolved to a point where we were really helping each other for a while, and things changed over time, but, I mean, that was really good, and I would have never expected that relationship to get there, and so.
Earlier this year, just meeting with Mark and Dave, Dale, a few of the guys from time to time, it was a smaller group, there were some things I was struggling with, and it helped a lot to be able to talk and to be able to listen, to find out that I wasn't the only one struggling with those things. And kind of knowing, sometimes just knowing that you're not the only one helps make you strong.
Oh, yeah.
And finding out that, you know, their process of going through those things is helpful.
Yeah, that's a good point, because as men, we do struggle with a lot of common things. And we understand that about each other better than the sisters do.
Had a couple of opportunities to get together with different guys, and one of the things that has been helpful for me is, you know, you live with yourself and your sin, and you know, if you're open with yourself, it's pretty humbling, and I find that often someone else can have a bigger vision for what God can do in my life than what I have, and it's been helpful getting people, you know, like Ryan Becker said, you know, I can really see what God can do with you in this area or that area. And, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I wouldn't have seen a lot of what his vision for God is.
Right. That's a good point. There are other ways to draw close to guys without meeting for breakfast or something, work out every week, and that is to find some time to pray together. Because when you pray with somebody, you get close to them, and you get very real most of the time in your prayer life, and also to serve with them in some capacity. So if you go off and do serve somebody together, it helps you build a relationship to the Lord and with each other. It's a bond there. So ideally, you do all that in the context of developing a friendship as well. one offer I'll make, and I don't claim to be an expert in this field, but if anybody's wanting to get together with somebody or start a group or something, if I can be of any kind of help, I'll try to do whatever I can. Coach, come sit in with you and make some suggestions or whatever, okay? Again, I've mostly just learned from mistakes. It's not that there are any experts around here.
I'd like to share one other thing in class. I had Clarence Shepard